After that, I didn't ask her age. I just said what it was. I'm not that dumb. 21, you're still allowed to say that. All right. This morning, I think I might have the children come up front up here just for a little bit. And we'll do a little children's class this morning. So if all want to come up here and sit up here. Now, this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about grace. Who knows what grace is? What's grace, Noah? Faithfulness. Faithfulness? Yes, it's part of faithfulness. But grace is when we don't get what we deserve. Because you know what? We deserve death. And because Jesus came and died for our sins, He gives us grace to live our lives. So, I'm going to do just a little bit of a illustration about what happens when we have Jesus in our lives. And I have Billy. This is Billy. And I have Bob. All right. This morning I have Billy and Bob. Now Billy, he doesn't have Jesus in his life. So when things come along, he's pretty easy to fall into things that are bad. Okay? And so Billy, he can be walking along and he can be in a store or something like that, and he sees some candy that he shouldn't have, or he sees things that he shouldn't have, and he's very easily just, oh my goodness, to be tempted and to fall into temptation. And the Bible says, this is what the Bible says. It says, we have been justified by faith. That means that Christ has redeemed us. That means Christ has forgiven us. And when we do that, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. All right? And then it says, we have access, because of Jesus, we have access with the grace of God. Okay? So, did you know that because when we're not a Christian, we are enemies with God? So, because we're saved by grace, we can be friends with God again. And there's another verse that Billy should have known. Because it says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way to escape it, that you may be able to bear it. That means when things come into our lives and we're tempted, God protects us, God helps us to avoid them temptations. Now, Billy wasn't a Christian, but Bob, he's a Christian. All right? So when Bob comes along and he sees this candy that's in the store that he wants, what happens? What happened to Bob? Did Bob pop? No? Why? Because he has water in him? That water is the grace of God in our lives, okay? And that grace does not allow us to pop. It does not allow us to fall to temptation. And Isaiah would be really happy if this would have popped and would have put the fire out. But because we have grace in our lives, and because we have Jesus in our lives, Jesus protects us and keeps us from temptation and from falling into sin, okay? All right, you may go back. Thank you for coming. this morning, I've chosen to read out of Romans and chapter 5. But I'm going to go back just two verses or so before that, because the first word of chapter 5 is therefore. So we have to see what therefore is there for. So we'll go to verse 24 of chapter 4, and it's talking about Abraham and the faith of Abraham, and how it was accounted to him for righteousness. Verse 22 says it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone, but it was imputed, which means it was credited to him. His righteousness was credited to him. Verse 24 says, but also for us it shall be imputed, which is credited, to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Now, those are some big words in there. Like I said, imputed means credited. So, it was credited to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. So, we believe in God who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Justification is being made right in the sight of God. So Christ was raised so that we could be made right in the sight of God. But he was delivered up because of our offenses. Because of our sins, Christ had to be offered as a sacrifice. Therefore, because of this, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we have been justified, made right in the sight of God by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, whether you realize it or not, if you have not been saved, you do not have peace with God. God does not have peace with us. Maybe we're doing things right. Maybe we look right. Maybe we act right. Maybe we feel okay. Maybe you sit on a beach and you hear that water and that's so peaceful. But there's no peace between you and God. Verse 10 says, For if when we were enemies, so we were obviously enemies with God. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So without that justification, without accepting Christ into our lives, without believing, like it says in verse 24, it says, who believe in him who raised us up, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Without believing in God, without believing in Jesus Christ, we don't have that peace between us and God. Verse 2 says, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now verse 2, I think, is what hit me the most out of this chapter. And it's where I got the title for my message from. The title of my message is, Where Are You Standing? It says, through whom also, so through Christ, Lord Jesus Christ is to whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So where are you standing? Are you standing in grace? Are you standing with God? And when I think of that, I guess the picture that comes to my mind is maybe someone standing in the middle of a rainstorm and they have an umbrella over them. And they're standing there and they're dry. Because that umbrella is the grace of God over their lives, and it's protecting them. It is keeping them safe. Just like this water in this balloon kept it from popping. That umbrella that's over them is protecting them from the rain. That's the picture I get, standing in grace. When the world around is in turmoil, when there's things going on around, standing in the grace of God. I know Wesley's had a pretty tumultuous week And yet they were able to stand in the grace of God, knowing that he was in control. And different things that happened, the whole process, the grace it gave them, the peace it gave them, knowing the way different things happened and turned out. It says, rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And that's not hard to do. We can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, verse 3, it says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. What? Who likes the glory in tribulations? Who likes the hard times? Joel shared just a little bit about a hard time. But who likes the glory in that? No one likes the glory in tribulation. No one says, bring me more tribulation. But yet, how many people, when you live your life and when you're picking out a property and you have a valley and you have a mountaintop, and we all like to live on the mountaintop, we all like that mountaintop experience, but who likes to grow vegetables on the top of a mountain? Nobody does. The top of a mountain is oftentimes rocky. It's not good soil. Good soil is down in the valley where the tribulations are. That's where we grow at. That's where we learn things. That's where we grow closer to God. That brings us up to that mountaintop. So we can glory in those tribulations. It says, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Perseverance. Pushing through. Knowing that God is in control. Keep pushing through. On the other side, our character grows. And then it says, hope. It says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So we have that hope of God. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So we had that Holy Spirit in our lives. And then we're moving on. It says, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. We know that there's lots of people in this world who have been given a job or who have signed up for jobs where they put their life on the line every day. And that's not something that most people do. But yet, not very many of them would die for a criminal. Maybe for somebody that's important. You know, the Secret Service have been trained to give their life for the president or for different members of our government. But that's not something that comes natural, that someone would die for someone else. Verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now we're sinners. Verse chapter 3, verse 20 says, therefore by the deeds of the law no flesh will be justified in his sight, for the law is the knowledge of sin. So before Christ came, we had the law. It says, no flesh will be justified, which is to be made right. So no one can be made right in the sight of God by the law. It said, for the law is the knowledge of sin. Then verse 21 says, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we're all sinners. Not one of us is worthy of dying for. But it says, being justified, being made right in the sight of God, freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as propitiation by his blood. Propitiation means atonement. So we're being atoned by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. So in God's forbearance for our sins that we previously committed, he overlooks them. It says, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So by having that faith in Jesus, believing, God is going to justify our lives. He's going to make us right in the sight of God. Going back to verse 9 of chapter 5, it says, much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So only through his blood are we going to be saved. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So we were reconciled to God. We were enemies. We had a wall. We had a wall between us, or a big divide between us. We couldn't get to the other side. But Christ came. Christ gave his life for us. And because of the cross, because of Christ dying on the cross, it bridges that gap. It no longer makes us enemies with God if we accept and believe on him. It says, not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So now we can rejoice in Christ. We can rejoice in it because we have received that reconciliation. We have been made whole. We have been restored. Reconcile means to restore relations, friendly relations between. So that relationship has been restored between us and God. Verse 12 says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. Now, as I thought of that, because of one man sin entered the world, we know that's Adam. Adam was the first one to sin. And because of that, death entered the world and spread to all men. And as I read that, I had to think of this pandemic that we find ourselves in, the coronavirus. It all came from one person, from one thing that started with one person. One person got it, and it spread to another, and another, and another, and another, and another. And it just kept spreading, just like sin did. So because of that, you know, if that first person could have avoided it, whatever it was, maybe it wouldn't have spread. But we know that Adam sinned, and because of that, because of sin, death came. And because of death, it spread to all men. It's because of all of sin. For verse 13 says, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed. And imputed means credited. Sin is not credited when there is no law. So without the law, there's no sin. Sin, we don't have that sin in our lives. So sin, the law shows us where we have sin. So that's why the law was brought in. The law was brought in, given to the children of Israel to say, don't do this, this is sin. Revealed the sin to them. It didn't make that sin, but it just revealed it to them. Verse 14 says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam. So maybe they hadn't sinned as much as Adam had. But yet they still sinned. It says, who is a type of him who was to come? But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more by the grace of God, and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Now when I see that where it says the free gift, what is this free gift we have? What is free? Now, I got a check a couple weeks ago from the government, and it was free. Free money. Guess what? It's not free. It's going to cost somebody something somewhere along the line. It's going to cost us. It's going to cost our children, maybe our grandchildren, and maybe their children. Nothing is free. If I were to give something to you, it would not be free. It would be free to you, but it would not be free for me. So this free gift that we have wasn't free for Christ. It cost him his life. Much more by the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. So there again we have the grace of God. And the gift is not like that which came to the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. So that first offense brought condemnation. But the free gift that we have brought justification, which is being made right. So because of that free gift, because of Christ dying for our sins, we're able to be made right in the sight of God. Then it says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more than those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life." It's repeating that again. Because of one man's sin, they had to make sacrifices. They had to make offerings to God because of their condemnation. But because of that one free gift that we received, that righteous act, it says, of Christ dying on the cross, we can have justification. We can be made right in the sight of God. And as the Israelites would do their sacrifices every year, they had sacrifices to make. And all throughout the year, they would make sacrifices to atone for their sins, to cover them up. But when Christ came, you only had to make it right once to be saved. And those sins were not just covered up. They were removed. God removed them. It says he removes them as far as the east is from the west. And we know that you can go east as long as you want to and you're still going east. You can go north only to so far and then you're going south. But if you go east and continue to go east, you'll go east forever. So because of that, because of Christ coming, because of his death for our sins, we're able to have justification. We're able to be made right. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. And you notice there the difference in those two. The first one, it says, by one man's disobedience many were made sinners. So because of Adam, we're all made sinners. So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. It doesn't say many are made righteous. It doesn't say that everyone is going to be saved because of Jesus' sacrifice. It doesn't say that. We all have the opportunity to be made right. We all have that opportunity, but we have to accept it. We have to believe in Jesus. Many will not be made right because they do not believe. Then it says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So as we go through our lives, we have sin abounding in our lives. But grace is there to cover those sins. Grace is there. Much more, it says. That grace is protecting our lives. And we can come to the point where we lose that grace. And we have to get right with God again. But as long as we live our lives and we do the best we can, and we fall down, we get back up, we confess our sins, that grace is going to stay with us. It's going to remain with us. And then it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In chapter 6, verse 1. And we know that that's not what grace is there for. Grace is not there so that we can continue sinning. It says, certainly not. How should we who died to sin live any longer in it? So we've got to change our lives. If we're going to have this grace in our lives, we're going to have to change the way we lived. If we want salvation, if we want eternal life with God, we're going to have to change how we live. And as things are revealed to us, even as Christians of 5, 10, 15, 20 years, things come into our lives and we're like, you know what? I need to change the way I'm living. I need to give this up. I need to do better. Because we have died to sin, we should no longer live in it. In Ephesians 2, 1 through 9, it says, And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Here again we've got this grace that God has given us. By grace you have been saved through faith, not of ourselves. It's nothing that we can do. It says, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You know, grace, salvation, it can't be earned, can't be bought. You can't borrow it. You can't inherit it from your grandparents, your parents. It has to be given. It has to be accepted. It's free. All we have to do is ask for it. All we have to do is confess and believe on Jesus, and we'll be saved. But we have to make that step. We have to do that, take that step and believe. And I just want to go back to verse 2 again. Through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. This grace in which we stand. So as we live our lives from day to day, we go about our week, let's stand in this grace. Let's live in this grace. Let's work through the things that come into our lives, the temptations that come into our lives. We have that grace of God. He's there for us. He wants us. Let's remember that when hard times come our ways, let's glory in Him. Let's realize that, you know what? God brought me to this. He's going to bring me through it. And in the moment, it doesn't seem easy. But yet we know that He has a plan for us. He has a plan for our lives. So, as you go through this next week, coming weeks, let's look to that. Let's stand in that grace. Into this grace in which we stand. So, when I ask the question, where are you standing? I hope that each one of us is standing in the grace of God. and relying on Him to lead us and to guide us each and every day. Let's stand for prayer, and you'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning, and I want to thank You for Your Son. Father, we came through Easter time of the year, where we celebrate the death of Your Son on the cross. And we know that He came to the cross because of our sins, and He died for us while we were yet sinners, while we were wretched, while we were miserable beings. He died for our sins to save us from them. And He gave us this free gift of salvation that cost Him His life. Father, I pray that You would help us to accept this gift of salvation that You give us. And I pray that You would help us to not take for granted what You have given us. Father, I pray that we would live our lives in such a way that we would be standing in Your grace, protected from the things that come around us, because we are standing in Your grace. Father, I pray that You would just be with us today as we go from here. Father, I pray again for Wesley's family as they go through the next couple days, weeks, the struggles that come up, the missing mom, grandma, whatever it may be. Father, I pray that You would give them this grace. You would be with them. You would lead them and guide them. Father, I pray that You would be with them, especially today and tomorrow. Father, I pray You would just bless their lives. I ask that You would just go with us as we go from here. Be with each one of us. Give us grace to live for You. In Your name I pray. Amen. You may be dismissed.